Marconi.
Oh, I remember this. My son was 4 years old, and this was our banger. this song slaps.
Nick.
Will you shut your pie hole?
Tiny.
So what happened, I was sleeping, and she used my finger to unlock my phone. And
oh, God.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny.
I only check my phone when I'm real lonely and horny. I don't...
Back together.
Greetings, podcast compadres. It is I, Bolognese Francine Marconi. We're back together. You know, I don't have much, but I'm very screwed up, and no amount of therapy can take that away from me. So I think I'm going to be okay. By the way, the next gentleman, if you can't remember his name, just say donuts. He'll turn around and look, no matter what. It's Nick Miles. Oh,
thanks, buddy.
I like the clap.
He will never admit defeat, especially when it comes to finishing a pizza. It's Tiny.
Yeah, that's me. I don't ever stop until the last crumbs are done. And I like extra olives on my pizza.
Together, at one time, we had a radio show. And now we're back together, reconfigured and more awkward than ever for your entertainment.
As it slips through our fingers like sand, yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today.
That's right.
Did you sing that?
No, that's not me. That's some other white people. It's weird because I saw this video. I think I posted it in our Facebook group. I don't know if it's evangelistic. And then I got interested. I went down a K-hole, and there are a lot of versions of this song, some of them by the same people, but others. Here's another one.
Sing this song.
You know what I appreciate? The beginning of that, when he tells his partner, sing this song, mother.
Did you hear at the beginning? So subtle, like, sing the song. Sing it.
Like, sing the song.
Mother, sing it.
Sing! Get on with it. We got one mic. Get the off. Get your ass over here. You have badass breath, but sing the song. I don't care.
Get up here and sing this goddamn song, Jeff.
Take all day to get this together, and y'all can't even sing the song with me. But seriously, I got more interested in this whole thing, and I found more versions of the song. Now, I think that one was with his wife, Judy, I want to say. It's Bill and Judy. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And I think this is another couple, like a blind guy and his and his wife. I don't.
What?
We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand.
Remix.
Do you? They have to be. They can't be still together. Those two. That was recorded. I mean that. There couldn't have been any passion in that marriage.
I could feel no passion. That was just like strictly the whitest, business.
The whitest, like, okay, you know, you. I know you, my best friend, the other night when she came in to do her part in here. But she played triangle on the album. I get it. Behind the scenes, you know. Larry and Cheryl or whoever, they did not see eye to eye, and it was over, but they had already signed a contract to do this song, and they had no choice but to get in the studio and just shut the f*** up and sing it.
Yeah, they owed the label one more hit.
They're like, let us give you the whitest thing we possibly can, the blandest thing on earth. But the thing is, we can make fun of the singing and the whiteness and all that all we want. The point is to those songs is like, you know, it's true. You know, we could be dead tomorrow, right, Nick?
Yeah.
I thought we were all dead already inside.
from hearing this over and over.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, somebody die.
Could you imagine like living in this time era where like this was the banger of the year? Like, dude, I mean, yes,
I probably need to go back and take some screenshots of the comments on these videos. It's of people who, oh, I remember this. My son was 4 years old and this was our this was our banger. this song, you know, like. This song slaps. Like, what? I found a deeper cut on this thing. I guess in the middle of the song, the wife, Judy, who I'm guessing because I've seen the guy grow older as I was searching through the videos, I think he's still alive. Either Judy ran off with his best friend or she's dead. I don't know. She's not in the current version of the song. But at one time, Judy, I think she was very into this guy, recorded this.
Tell me just how many dates it takes for love to really start. And just how many kisses will turn love into an art. When does the magic moment come to give away your heart? When did I start to love you? Was the day we talked of Browning the beginning of it all? Or that time we walked the meadow and the fields of corn so tall that we felt like naughty children hiding from their mother's call?
What?
When did I start to love you? I remember just how timidly your first new song you shared. By the way you grinned, I knew that you were glad you dared. Although my evaluation wasn't worth much, still, you cared. When did I start to love you?
When I gave you this... Because when you start to love me. First of all, shut the fuck up, Judy. Talking too much. What do you mean, right? I'm hiding in a cornfield with you, bitch. I'm blind. I couldn't have found you in the first place. What memories are you recalling, Judy?
It's like she's excited about someone. I don't know if it's her husband. Like, she's like...
Yeah, who the fuck are you talking about, Judy?
She's in the recording booth. Is she talking about, like, her new lover? That she has, like, she's excited about her new relationship with a guy she's been together with 30 or 40 years.
Man, that's some ballsy shit. She walked right up in dude's studio talking about another dude hiding in some cornfields and Judy. That's why I don't trust no hoes.
Was it when I went to meet you in a gown of snowy white?
See?
Was it when we signed the license and drove off into the night? Was it when I gave myself to you?
Yes. Oh.
And felt that it was right?
Gave myself to you?
When did I start to love you?
She loved when you lost your virginity?
When I feared you wouldn't love me if you knew how I'd been wrong. And I spent that week in misery. But you'd known it all along. And you loved me because you love me.
Wait, so...
No.
Very complex.
No, I don't love you because I just love you, bitch. I love you because the way the things you make me do to my... has nothing to do with... how you caress me and wear your golden white dress. Shut up, Judy. I'm tired of this.
Can I just tell you, it's way too complicated. I'm out.
Like, yeah,
she's just like overloaded me.
This is how you court chicks back in the day, dude. I just...
Was it rushing to the clinic with a bone in Amy's throat?
What?
What? What the f***? You put a bone in Amy's throat? You freaking bitch.
So I cut some of it out because, like you said, it goes on forever. But I think they had a child, and at some point she was choking on a chicken bone or...
Oh, a chicken bone.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I don't know.
So he put a bone in Amy's throat.
This is a fond memory they decided to put in a record. Can you imagine being Amy as an adult? Like, yeah great, my f***ing white-ass parents, I nearly died. They thought it would be amusing to put into a song.
Yeah, they're out here playing grab ass in a cornfield, and I'm choking on a motherfucking chicken bone, Judy.
Sounds wrong. All of it sounds wrong.
Was it rushing to the clinic with a bone in Amy's throat?
A clinic? Ah! What's wrong with a hospital?
You saw me shivering and wrapped me in your coat? Was it when I cleaned your bureau drawer and saw you'd saved my note?
Clean whoa, what? Your drawer?
For you.
Was it when I saw you showing Benji how to be a man? Take a stand.
No,
dude, it sounds wrong.
I think it's that she's going through his bureau drawer. I'm gonna guess she found porn.
Bureau.
She had to find porn, right? Like, was it when I was going through your bureau drawer and I found a note? The note was, look at all these magazines that I bring home and slide into this drawer for my time.
Then you taught Benji to be a man with those magazines.
Then one day Benji got a huge box in his bedroom and said, "Don't tell mom." And then, but then mom found it and she was turned on by it somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, this family, you know, this family is f***ed up. I'm surprised. I mean, when you think about it, this is like one of those shows that you'd see a documentary about the family murdered everybody. Like they
Everyone.
Murdered everything. Like, and then there's no, and then they're we never would have guessed this kind of stuff was going on behind the closed doors.
Do you mind if I leave for a while and just take a shower? I need to purify my
so white. This is making me feel uncomfortable.
Gentle touch. And a good cup of coffee. And someone who loves me.
Oh, f-
this is rebut,
and
by the
wants
way.
Wants me to stay.
This
hold
is
them near.
Echo to her diatribe that she just said.
Don't wait for tomorrow. Look back and wish for today.
What year is this? Like 1969?
We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand.
I think we should make this into a rap song.
We have... this moment today.
There's nothing that bitches and hoes couldn't be. You need to make this song better.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't. Is this the first like audio track we've heard of the first simp? I mean, she didn't. She didn't. She didn't did dude wrong, and he's talking about. But baby, I love you no matter what. Get the f- out of here, John.
Like, yeah, because she said in that one part, like, you love me even though you knew the stuff I did before you, you know?
Yeah.
The way
But
I thought she gave herself to him. Well, that's the whole other song.
Yeah, no, it is the same song. But she basically, I think she was defiled by a man before him. So she wasn't a virgin, maybe. Even though you found out, you still loved me anyway. You know there's something more behind that. Like,
oh, yeah.
She was with, you know, somebody she shouldn't have been. Like, maybe she was still in high school and the guy was in college or something.
I assure you, making up a backstory is way better than anything you've played us so far.
I've got, like, a giant high ass.
What a visual.
Is it one of those things where you have to spread them and show them Old Glory?
But also, on the other hand, I'm now going to be the butthole guy.
Snakes and tongues and women wearing bits of string.
Get up right now for some snacks, because we'll be right back.
If you haven't figured out the internet by now, get out.
Yeah, backtogetherpod.com. That one.
You know, the internet is my nemesis.
25 hours of original content.
Backtogetherpod.com.
The fact that none of the episodes have made me go to therapy. That's my favorite part.
I really enjoy the fact that sometimes even we don't know what we're talking about.
Find previous episodes and more at backtogetherpod.com.
There's no need to bring your brain here. All right, let's play a little game. We haven't done this in a while. Ask Andy is one of my favorite games because Andy is one of those people who you can ask anything, and whether the answer is correct or not, he makes it correct by just the way he answers it. So I'm going to give you a few softball questions, maybe, Andy. I think they'll be easy for you because you were there. You know what I mean? So here's...
My house, Andy, because I can relax.
Well, Nick, you can maybe help him but with giving him some clues if you know the answers. Here's one...
No, it's all his problem.
You know, we did a radio show, and at one time we were on the air in Seattle and in Portland, and we had a great boss in Portland, Andy. You remember his name?
But our boss in Seattle sucked.
No, I'm not. Mr. Mark Hamilton.
Mark Hamilton, right. Okay, so the question is, the guy in Seattle, what was our nickname for our radio boss in Seattle? I had a specific nickname that I used for him on the air.
The enemy of fun.
That is correct. I mean, the full name was Fellatio, enemy of fun.
Oh, that's right.
But I'm sorry. I was too busy reading the question. I didn't give you your due from... There you go. You got it right. Okay, so...
I'm just going to tell you right now, this is going to be boring because I'm already right.
Okay. Pick a category, Andy, as this is loading. Arts, history, geography, science, general, or entertainment?
Entertainment.
In the TV show The Simpsons, what is Lenny's last name?
Oh.
Kravitz.
Yeah, isn't it Skinnerd? Lenny Skinnerd?
That's the principal, right? Mr. Skinnerd.
Oh, that's right. It's Lenny Hermachowitz. Final answer.
I'm so sorry. Andrew, it's Lenny Leonard is his actual name.
Oh, I thought you wanted his middle name. Okay, got it.
No, his last name. Okay, all right, sorry. Okay. Andy, what are the names of my two cats?
Ambrose?
You got it right. Ambrose and?
It's like a Chilean name. It's exotic.
Did you ever watch the show?
Ambrose and.
Did you ever watch the show 6 Feet Under?
6 Feet Under. No. I know their stage name.
Their stage name?
They're the South Loop Gatos.
That is correct. But what? It's Ambrose and who else?
Oh, Frederico.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Did Nick just write that down and tell you? He did, didn't he?
Not at all.
I knew it.
No.
No, Nick, no, not at all.
I would have got that right. Are you kidding me?
All right, Andy, pick a category. Entertainment, arts, history, science, or general?
Oh, easy peasy, science.
What was the first dog in... Or who was the first dog in space?
Oh, isn't it play on, like, Lance Armstrong? Isn't it, like, Woof... Armstrong? Oh, it's no, that's his cousin. It's Sputnik.
I'm sorry, I'm terrible.
Sputnik, not Sputnik.
Nick, maybe you could help me with the pronunciation. It's Laika. Laika.
Laika.
Yeah.
Bro, the spacecraft was Sputnik, though, wasn't it?
It doesn't say that in the answer. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the spacecraft was called Sputnik.
You expect me to be smarter than the manual? Come on. All right, here we go. Another question. Andy, which episode did we discuss your missing tooth?
Ooh. I want to say number 2.
Yes.
2 for tooth.
Yes.
That's right. See what I did there?
Episode tooth.
Yeah, it's episode tooth. Season 1. All right. Category, general, geography, arts, or history?
History.
How long did New York City's first subway system take to build?
I'm going to say a quick 30 years.
Sorry. 4 years. But how would anybody know that? I mean, I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, well, you know, construction, there's always something to do. They probably finalized it 30 years
later. 4, 30, whatever, you know. Here's one from our old show, and I know you'll remember this. In Portland, when we were on the radio together, our main competitor was a station I ended up working for. But at the time when we were together on a radio, what was the name of the host that was our main competitor?
Oh, Dog-Faced Boy and Pork Chap.
That is correct.
I think that story should go into radio history because we beat their ass so bad that they left the town.
Yeah, it is. The weirdest part was before we did afternoons, I was friends with Pork Chop, you know. He would call me when I was doing the overnight show at the station where we worked together. And he and I would BS because he was doing overnights at the other station at the time. And then he got upgraded. So he got upgraded to afternoons a little bit before us. And then we were direct competitors. And then I started my whole thing with you know.
Didn't he start being a dick to you before you started being a dick to him?
Noah is his name. Porkchop was never a dick, but Face Boy was a little bit like cocky with his, because he noticed we were starting to encroach on his ratings and he didn't like that. Right. So he started talking a little bit of trash. That got back to us, and then I unleashed and never stopped. So when we moved.
Porkchop's now a real estate agent, by the way.
Well, nothing against that guy. When we went to Seattle, they fired Dogface, and then he went and he's like in Sacramento now or something. But Porkchop came back, and I worked with him on the Kid Chris show at KUFO. And then he was on the sports station for a long time until they made budget cuts, and then now he's selling real estate or whatever.
He's a great guy. He's a really good guy.
He really is a great guy, and I was lucky to get to work with him. It's so weird after you do stuff on the radio, like, people think, you know, somehow I really hated the competition. I loved it. It was fun because we got to goof around. It was like, I liken it to sort of like the WWE, you know what I mean, Andy? Like, I made them the heel, if that's the terminology you use for wrestling. And I made them look like the evil bad guy. And I played the hero. We played the hero on the radio every day. And it was fun because our fans got into it. And I think the reason it worked was because so many people listening to our radio were into WWE and they got it.
Dude, sometimes our fans got into it a little more than we would have liked.
Well, that's the thing, man. That's the thing, dude. I would never, ever, ever want to get into a radio beef with you, man. I mean, we exploited. we looked him up. We had listeners and interns standing out in front of their window, like, even when the show was over. Like, it was guerrilla warfare, dude. I'm like, this really is not letting up. I was so proud of you. That's kind of like, I loved you for sure, but that's when I knew, like, yeah, I love this dude. Because you figured out some, like, real personal shit about them and exploited the hell out of that. And, like, just the mental shit that you did was brilliant.
Well, it's the weird thing, too, is when I then eventually took over afternoons at KUFO, to me, part of that was, like, I was kind of over the whole rivalry thing. But there was a small part of me in my mind is, like, I win because I'm now doing the show. I'm on his time slot on his station. The only thing I wish that you guys could have been there. I wish things were different at the time, but they weren't. Whatever. You can't look back and.
Yeah. You cheated on me, but, you know, we don't talk about it. I cheated on you. Yeah. I don't know how he didn't drive up here and, like, try and punch all of us because. Before the show started, after the show ended, it was like a consistent. It wasn't just from showtime. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just encapsulated in the length of our show. It was the whole day. Like, even on weekends, like, people were out there with him, and, like, people, it was I really thought it was gonna escalate into some serious because some of our listeners, like, really figured some stuff out. Do you remember, like, some of the people, like, trying to go to his house and
No, I don't remember any of that.
Well, they did.
We had another competitor, and I remember we used to make fun of the two afternoon hosts because they were white as snow. They were on a hip-hop station. They put on an affect on their voices. They spoke differently in real life than they did on the air. It was as if they were putting on a character voice or something. I made fun of them a lot. I eventually felt bad for it and actually apologized. But in the throes of our show, it felt like appropriate content.
they were just like, in my opinion, the stereotypical culture vultures.
If it was authentic, then that would have translated through and that would have been totally different. It was, right. They were like characters and they were, yeah. And it was super f***ed up. And like I said, man, if that was their authentic selves, then that would have translated through and it is what it is, but that's not the case at all.
But in the same thing, like who are we to judge other people? We've had Nick on our show the entire time and we know both know he's not really English.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
That's just a fake accent and he just puts it on and makes crumpets and tells people that he loves tea, you know, but he doesn't care about that, nor the Queen. I mean, he denounced the Queen.
Yeah, kinda. Nick, what do you think about Meghan Markle? She's a British culture vulture.
You're absolutely right.
Damn it, Nick.
Why does he have to be from the, where are you from? Where is that accent from?
I'm from Georgia.
Oh, near. Hazelhurst, Georgia, I understand. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have a pickup truck and a straw hat, and I'm a banjo twanger.
Banjo twanger? What the hell?
In your mind, is that what white people in Georgia do? Is twang banjos?
Yeah. Is that bad?
I don't know.
Boots and a denim shirt and my jeans are rolled up to my knees and I go catfish fishing in the creek. I like to tickle a catfish occasionally.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm so uncomfortable now. I mean, can you go back to pretending you're English again?
Yeah, all right. I'm done.
I want to admit it. You know, OnlyFans was kind of a mystery to me. I made fun of it. I, you know, joked around like everyone has because it's been kind of the running butt of jokes, but it's a real industry, OnlyFans. And I guess during quarantine, a lot of actual celebrities have joined and has started an OnlyFans. Bella Thorne started an OnlyFans and I think on the first couple of days made like $6 million.
Wow. Yeah.
And
that's pretty good.
So I was like, well, I should check it out. And if I'm going to check it out, why not pay $20 for 30 days and see what's going on with Bella Thorne. Now, if you follow her on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, she wears bikinis and she's, you know, she does all the things. She's provocative, right, Tiny?
Yeah, she is. She angers me.
Well, the thing, I like, you know, the movies that she's been in, they're okay, they're fine, whatever. I know she came from Disney. I didn't know really much about that, but she's got a couple of movies that are pretty decent and she's pretty. And I mean, I applaud her for being smart enough to go, hey, during quarantine, I can't really go out and make movies right now. I'm going to make some money doing OnlyFans. Why not? So I joined it thinking I didn't know what to expect. But the only reason I was disappointed was because she used this platform to promote her music. Now, you could get a listen to her music. Because here's what happens. You go back and forth on the thing, and everything is like, hey, if you really want to see my good morning photo, you know, tip $20 for this. Now, I've already paid $20 for this service, right? And you're thinking, it's not, you know, Disney Plus. It's not Netflix. It's not just like, give me more content. But it's a constant pay-as-you-go situation. You have the initial fees have been paid, you're in the club, right? You paid the doorman, whatever entry fee it is. And now, you know, you're paying for pictures that are, I guess, more provocative than the regular ones, only to find out that they're not. They're just basically like, hey, if you want to look at me in a thong, pay $20 more kind of thing.
Yeah, this is f***ed up.
I don't begrudge anyone making more money and there's no reason. I just think for me, I guess a guy with a modicum of a brain, I'm like, no, you already give this away for free on Instagram and Snapchat. So why am I paying for specific pictures that will eventually end up there anyway?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, it's a hustle. I mean, I can appreciate the hustle, but don't make me spend $20 just to get in the door. And then another 20 just to see a little bit of.
That's right. And then the tease of, well, I'll debut my music on there. It's like she's threatening you that she's going to give you some music. And I don't know what to think. I mean, the video of this song is pretty crazy, but the music itself, this is part, I mean, you're this is part of the $20 fee. I don't really know. Okay, you get it. It's hot garbage.
God, that is some of the worst music I've ever heard in my life.
And we've listened to this already today.
Yeah, I'd rank them about the same.
Well, I mean, I think some of the verses in this are make it even worse than just that chorus. I feel lost without you
by my side. Hang on a second. I got an idea.
What?
I'd only check my phone when I'm real lonely and horny. I don't see, it's the same thing.
It really is. I feel lost without you by my side. I go in my room and cry all night. This room feels cold at night without you.
It's the same. It's just one's twice as fast as the other. That's it.
But no, but she's trying to like just say words and find the beat. I feel at night without you all by my side, and every word is just so cliche.
Wait, let me try this. See if I can do it. I went to the kitchen and made Tiny a crumpet because he was hungry. He wanted it toasted. He had some jam on the crumpet as well. And he poured himself a glass of eggnog too. I can f***ing do it. It's easy. What is this? This is so easy.
That was way better. I don't want to use my
vibrator every... Vibrator?
Wait, her what? I don't want to use my
vibrator. Vibrator. For vibrator, right? It's not vibrator.
Look, man, I get it. I come from a hip hop background. I get it. You got to use the word and bend it to make it rhyme. But vibrator, that's a reach. I hate you.
It's not even it's vibrator. I don't want to use my vibrator. It's a hard R.
God damn those hard R's.
It's a super powered vibrator. I don't want to use my vibrator every other time. If you're not me, then that should be a crime. She sounds like a whiny millennial that needs a slap. Like, she sounds like a kid that in like, imagine a minivan where you need to turn around and give them a good spanking.
I'm just imagining Nick as a parent, and a lot was coming into my thought process.
Shut the up, you little rat! Will you shut your pie hole? All alone.
You're grounded. All alone. Anyway, that's her song. And she keeps promoting it all over social media, too. So, lucky me, I got to hear it first. I've been sitting on that song for, like, 2 months. Like, we keep running it. We, you know, do so much stuff on the podcast that every time I'm like, oh, I'll wait next week. You know? So I don't know. It's like one of those things where I like Bella Thorne just fine, but why does she doesn't need to keep doing music.
No, she doesn't she doesn't need to do anything. Get your money.
I think we're giving her just more attention than she deserves. She honestly, she's done nothing to deserve our go away, Beth.
Well, I mean, $6 million on OnlyFans isn't, you know, anything to be sneezed at. But no.
Think of those people that she took their money.
Yeah, it is weird when you think about like the world that we're in. Like people are sitting here waiting on the possibility of the government giving them a little extra money to get by. But Bella Thorne is making $6 million on OnlyFans.
I'd like to hear who actually got government checks and then bought Bella Thorne's OnlyFans.
You know, it's weird. You know, you always hear at the end of games, whether it's the NBA or football or whatever, there's always, at the end of the games, there's interviews.
So I watched the film, I broke it down, and I said, okay, all the repetition, all the work that you put in it, don't abandon it. Just go out and just make it happen. And I was able to do that.
I mean, they say just the most generic statements ever. And I thought about this, what if that was the case in, like, normal life situations? I mean, they put so much focus on these games. They're so important because we're so desperate for entertainment, especially now. You know, they go and ask them after the game, you know, how do things go? What do you think?
You know, we're not even supposed to be here. So the fact that I can walk into an NBA locker room, see James on the back of an NBA jersey, I'm already blessed. And then the man above gave me some athletic ability, gave me some talent, and I'm just trying to take full advantage of it.
And if they lose, then they have to go out and make these sad press conferences.
But I'm not going to hang my head low. I know how much work as a team we put into it. I know how much work individually that I've put into it when you guys are not around. You know, that's something people don't see, you know. And I think, you can never hang your head low when you know how much work, how much dedication that you put into the game of basketball, you know, when the lights are off and the cameras are not on.
So they have to say things like that. And I thought, what if there was a situation where just normal everyday people were given these interviews after they do something, you know? Like, for instance, let's just give an example, and maybe you guys could help me out with a little improvisation. Let's go now. Oh, man, we go now. Seventh grade math teacher, Mr. Claudicus, after teaching his first in-person math class in weeks. How'd it go?
I have to tell you, it was the determination. It was the concentration. There was a lot of crying. We have finally got through it.
Oh, I have to ask you this, Mr. Claudicus. Did things add up?
It was touch and go for a while. We all came through it together. We made this happen as a team, and we finally got to the end.
See, I feel like any situation you could take and turn it into a post-game interview, right? Like, for instance, all right, here's Ted Raveldanken, who just finished moving his bowels after an all-fiber breakfast. How'd that go?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm out here working hard. I'm blessed. I was able to get with my trainers, get the best Metamucil, and get the most grains and fibers in my diet. Yeah. I just feel like, yeah, you know, the real MVP here for this game was my lower intestines. They really squeezed and pushed through at the end so I could get all of the fecal matter out. I'm just here to go number two. My colon and my anus are really doing the work. Praise God.
Right. Yes. Yes. See what I mean, though? I feel like it could happen with any situation.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the game. Oh, look. Suburban mom, Mrs. Mankelvonk, who just finished dinner with her family after making her famous spicy niblet corn tortilla soup, gravy ham casserole. Did your family really enjoy that, Mrs. Mankelvonk?
Yes, I think it was the praying before, it was the mindset, it was the thought, and the Holy Spirit got us through it.
And will you make this anytime again soon?
Clearly, the pep talk, the talk up, the encouragement, and that all made it happen. So we'll do it again from beginning to end.
Oh, so see, now I'm hungry for whatever it is. Tortilla soup, gravy, and ham casserole. That's your specialty? How did you come up with that recipe?
It was really the mascot. The mascot pushed us through, and by sheer applause, we came up with it.
Wow. Oh, here's another one. Lonnie Berylson Funk, who just finished texting his crush. Barry, how'd things go?
Well, you know, I got to give praise to swipe text, so I don't have to touch each individual letter. I can just swipe my thoughts. I want to thank Apple for making sure I can see when my partner messages me. I can see the three dots. When they go away, that's when the pressure gets on. You know what I mean? Like, I have to anticipate the next text. And then when the message comes through, I respond to it. And, you know, I might get left on read for 24 hours, but that's okay because I appreciate the response. Praise God.
What's the longest you've been left on read?
Right now, my partner's got me on at about a 96-hour no-text interval, which is great because, you know what, sometimes you got to intermittently fast. That way you can train better. That way I'm in more shape. That way my thumbs can swipe text better.
Ah, I see. Now we have another person here, Harold McWangelford, who just finished eating two giant burritos. That seems like a lot of food. How are you feeling?
It was rough. I'm not going to lie. It was rough. But we started at the very beginning, like everybody else. We had the same task. The whole team looked straight on. Really, what we did was start at the front, the pep talk. We got the up talk. We got encouragement. And what really made it happen was going step by step all the way to the end. And we did it methodically. We took it inch by inch until we conquered the whole thing.
What do you have beans? Do you have meat? What do you have on your burrito?
It's a combination approach. It's everything mixed together. Everybody does their part. Every ingredient is mixed perfectly. It's not any one individual. It's a team effort.
We have another person. This is Lester Hamelflank, who just finished cleaning the toilets after his grandkids stayed the weekend at his house. Lester, how disgusting was that?
Well, you know, I got to hand it to my daughter for creating these two little magical beings who produce epic amounts of there was splashes. There was stuff underneath the toilet bowl. You know, honestly, Greg, I went into the situation amazed. I wasn't even mad I had to clean it. But I went in there, put some gloves on, got some Clorox, and got some bleach. And we handled the situation that was in front of us.
Word is that your grandson, Lester Jr., had the green apple splatters. Is that true?
It is. And that wasn't until later in the day that I realized that. So I had to go back in, suit up, and I had to use liquid plumber. I want to give a shout out to the real plunger, because, you know, nothing beats elbow grease. And I just want to say my thanks to the cleaning products out there. Had it not been that, I don't know what I would have cleaned with.
Go cleaner!
How long do you think it'll be until you have these little bastards back at your house?
No, that's it. They're never again. They're banned. We're going to have to go to the replay. We're going to have to see what happened in the fourth quarter when he decided to play with the feces was a good idea for Grandpa. But as of now, they've been suspended from Grandpa's house with no food and no tablets until Mom gets home.
Wow, that was beautiful. That, to me, ladies and gentlemen, that is how you improv. Bravo, gentlemen. Fantastic job.
Yeah,
that was a sh- improv.
A relationship to me is only as strong as the locks on your separate bedrooms. And I really feel, because if you lived with someone, Tiny, because Nick, I don't know, you don't sleep in the same bed with your husband at night, right?
It's called I Get Up at 3 o'clock in the morning and my partner gets up at a reasonable time of 7 o'clock in the morning.
But even if you get up at the same time, you still prefer to have your own sleeping quarters.
No, I mean, if we got up at the same time, but it used to be the fact that I wake my partner up all the time and they don't like that. Plus we have 5 dogs and when they all want to sleep in the bed, it gets very uncomfortable. that's not to say we don't share a bed on occasion.
Right. I mean, you obviously you love each other. You've been together for many years, that kind of thing. But I mean, to me, it's exactly how a marriage should be. I think too many people think they have to be in the same bedroom. And I don't even, you know, I like having separate quarters.
Yeah, you're not even in the same apartment.
Right. Exactly. It's the best thing ever.
Tiny's not even in the same country as half the women he sleeps with.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. No doubt.
But do you think, I mean, because honestly, do you think that relationships could last longer? I mean, Nick, you're an anomaly. Not everyone lasts for, how long you've been together? 30 years?
300 years. Yeah.
But I really feel for me, a relationship can only work if we don't live together. I don't need somebody telling me.
Everybody's different. Like, it just depends. You guys have to be how you want to be. Like, you have to be how
Andy
is.
Will you ever live with someone again, Andy?
You know, probably, but she would have to be an alpha female, meaning she would have to be strong enough to know that our bedroom door is going to be a revolving door.
Oh, and, okay.
And if she's down to like, I'm sure I sound like such a.
He'll let you know when he grows up.
Yeah, when I grow up. But I guess to answer your question in short, yeah, I probably would, but it would take the right situation.
But honestly, though, is it really growing up, Nick, if you just know yourself? I mean, knowing yourself.
I'll leave you with this. We change every cell in our body every 7 years. So 7 years from now, every cell in your body will be completely different. You will be a completely different person in 7 years.
So you're saying to me, none of the cells in my body that I have right now,
right,
I had when we did radio shows together.
No, nope. It's completely different. Every single cell in your body has changed every 7 years. And so if you ask somebody a question, 7 years later, you're likely to get a completely different answer. So just bear that in mind.
Is that, because I always tell people if they're going to get a tattoo, they should wait 5 years. Should I lengthen that to 7 in my recommendations?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Because, you know, if you want a tattoo, they say, Andy, you know, wait 5 years, I'm upping it at 7 already, to decide, because then you'll know if you really wanted it or not.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff tattooed from the wall of the tattoo shop on people who don't even know what it means or cares. They just want
right. Ink. Like they just got into it because, oh, I'm going to be a badass.
But doesn't necessarily mean you change your mind, because I have things I still believe that I believed 7 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So things don't necessarily change. I'm just saying, be prepared for your answers to change every 7 years.
I see. My answers change every day, to be honest. Yeah. I don't even know from day to day really what I want most of the time. I do know that I enjoy coming together with you guys whenever we get the chance. So thank you both for your time in doing that. I know I don't want to seem condescending, because obviously you guys want to do it too, or you wouldn't be here. But I do appreciate you guys, your patience and your time. And I love you both. I think you're two of the greatest people on the face of the earth.
And I love you. And keep the checks coming, and we'll keep showing up.
And I like to always say some final statement at the end, some dumb thing that I've written down. It doesn't really make any sense, but sometimes it makes you think. So I have 3 statements today, and I want you to choose which one you think would be the best to end the podcast on. Okay. And I say, and finally, squirrels understand that everything is a crisis. That's one. Or, and finally, every love story is a tragedy if you wait long enough. And finally, if money can't buy happiness, how do you pay for separate vacations? Which of those 3 do you think should be the end of today's episode?
Well, Tiny and I have conferred, and we have a joint answer for you. Go ahead, Tiny.
None of them.
Are you saying you don't want this to end?
Yeah, I don't want to get off the line with you because I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Probably the middle one.
All right. So every love story is a tragedy if you wait long enough, which is true because either someone dies or they break up or something like that. There's always going to be a chance, even if you're 80, you might still get that date with your crush, right?
I could extend that and say only because we only know what we know. But if we knew what we didn't know, we might change our mind.
What if cat was spelled D-O-G?
Oh, damn it.
I do have something to say about that. One of the girls that I'm with right now, she's been the one constant almost my entire dating career that I've left the door open in every relationship for. My last ex-girlfriend found some text messages between her and I, and she threw an Xbox at my chest in the middle of sleeping and told me to get the fuck out. And then we ended up having hate sex, which was great. But my point is, guys, take an Xbox to the chest. It's worth it.
Wait, was the Xbox to the chest like your prize for getting through the relationship that far? Or?
No. So what happened, I was sleeping and she used my finger to unlock my phone. And
oh, God, dude, let's save this for the next show. I'll only
check my phone when I'm lonely and horny. Yeah, exactly.
I'll only check your phone when you're lonely and horny. Yep,
exactly. And this chick that I had left open, I mean, not to go off on a crazy tangent, I know we're wrapping it up, but my last girlfriend was like literally everything I've ever wanted on paper. You know what I mean? And this other girl that I had the door left open for, she had saw some messages between her and I on Instagram, and I had called her my dream girl.
Oh.
And she ripped the Xbox out from, you know, its little station and threw it at my chest while I was sleeping. And we ended up having a big fight anyway, but now I'm with her and she's one of my harem. So, you know, guys, if you need to take an Xbox to the chest, just do it. It's worth it. Trust me.
And when did you know it was love, Andy?
Was it when I went to meet you in a gown of snowy white? Was it when I signed the license and drove off into the night?
Or was it...
Was it rushing to the clinic with a bone in Amy's throat?
if you mean a gown of snowy white by a pile of...
Sprinkles.
Andy, you're probably right. I have to tell you, it was the determination, it was the concentration, there was a lot of crying, it was touch and go for a while, we all came through it together, we made this happen as a team, and we finally got to the end.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny, back together.
Find full episodes everywhere you get your podcasts
at backtogetherpod.com.